For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. Sleepers, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You ever hear that phrase yelled, here's mud in your eye? It's an old and very odd kind of phrase. It doesn't seem to make much sense because it's kind of a toast that you say before you have a drink at a bar often. You might have heard it, and I know that's where I've heard it most probably, is in old Western cowboy movies. It's not something people necessarily say nowadays, but in those olden times, in those cowboy days, you'd see the cowboy, you know, walk up kind of bow-legged up to the bar and the saloon, and he'd pour a drink, and he'd hoist the glass and say rather that loudly, here's mud in your eye. Well, that phrase comes directly from this morning's gospel reading in John. Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and came back able to see. You see, it's not so much a toast as it is a blessing. May you have the eyes to see just like the man who Jesus helped, is kind of what you're saying when you say, here's mud in your eyes. The blind man in this story literally walked in darkness, but Jesus opened that man's eyes to see the light. The light that was, of course, more than just being able to see the world around him. It was the ability to see the light with a capital L, so to speak, that was Jesus and is Jesus for us today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord, calm our minds and hearts right now and here in this place. Fix our minds on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to put away, just for the next few minutes in particular, the distractions we may have brought with us this morning, the things that may have happened at home or on the way here or just before the service began, the plans we may have for the remainder of the day that can very often obliterate your voice trying to speak to us this morning. Calm our minds, settle our hearts, help us to breathe in your words this morning. And Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth this day, the meditations of my heart, that these can be acceptable to you and your people this morning. In the mighty light-filled name of Jesus, amen. So as Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man who had been blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And that kind of also sounds like a bit of an odd question to ask Jesus when the disciples saw this blind man sitting at the street side. And maybe it's not that odd at all when we think about it, because actually lots of people wonder the same things at times in their own lives and in the lives of people around them. What did I do wrong in my life to deserve this? It's actually very common. It's a natural kind of conclusion that we come to at different times, and it's very easily arrived at question. When bad stuff happens in my life, we want to know what the cause of it is. I must have done something wrong to deserve this, is the kind of voice that we often have in our minds. Now, probably that question gets asked by parents who have teenagers, because teenagers are off doing whatever teenagers do, and you think, what did I do to deserve this? I raised this kid the right way, and they're off doing whatever and driving me crazy. We tend to kind of internalize when stuff is going not quite the way we planned. Jesus' disciples were really simply asking what anyone might ask in a situation like this. After all, they'd been standing right beside this very wise man of God, so it's natural to ask the spiritually connected person a fundamental life question. Who did such a bad thing in their life, that this man or his parents, that he was deprived of the gift of sight? There must be a reason. There's just got to be one. Jesus, more or less, doesn't really answer them fully in words. He does approach it a little bit, but he answers more with his actions. This man, this particular man, was going to show the light of God that was standing right there in the crowd of people on that particular street on that particular day. So Jesus makes a little bit of paste out of mud from dirt on the ground and his spit. He puts it on the blind man's eyes and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, if you look up the Pool of Siloam on Google, you'll see that it's a real place. It's in the old city of David in Jerusalem, and it's still there today. So you can go to that same pool where that man bathed his eyes, and you can stand right there. What happened here is a couple of things took place as a result of this sign of God that Jesus is who he claims to be. First, The local people, the first response that happens is the local people start to argue about whether this man who's clearly walking around able to see, whether this man is the blind beggar just a few minutes ago, or is he someone that kind of looks like him? And he keeps telling them, it's really me. I'm the blind man. Jesus took some mud, put it on my eyes, I washed in the pool of water, and now I can see. It's really me. Second thing that takes place is once they're convinced that it is he is who he says he is, they go and get their religious leaders to check this out, because this is quite a miraculous thing to happen. They get the Pharisees, and they want to take a look at this guy. The Pharisees ask him, how was it that he could now see, and who did this? You'd think they'd be quite excited to find the man who could apparently make blind people see, but as we read and we know, we'd be a little bit wrong there maybe. Because what happens next is the Pharisees start to grumble about the day of the week when this miraculous sign took place. It's only mentioned in one line, but that's sort of the premise of what's happening here. It was the Sabbath. And for Jewish people, the Sabbath meant they could do no work on the Sabbath, not even work that healed someone, because it was still considered work. Jesus made mud. He worked the ground and made mud. There were strict rules, you know. And anyone who did work on the Sabbath was evil and certainly couldn't be a godly person. Now, when we talk about situations like this, I wrote down in my notes the word snigger, because often we snigger when we hear that. Oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous that they would pick that up and complain that he did something on the Sabbath. But there is a good parallel for us in our modern church, I think, in so many ways. There are certain things that we find acceptable that can be done in church, and other things we don't find acceptable, obviously, on the other side of it, even today. For them, it was Sabbath rules, and they were very strict about that. But each one of us in this room today could probably, and there may be some that are common, but we all have something in mind, probably, that we would find unacceptable to be done in church. And if somebody did that unacceptable thing, you wouldn't think they were very much of a godly person or a Christian person. And that's how these Pharisees were viewing Jesus. Now, I've mentioned before of a book I read way back in the 70s now that talked about women wearing makeup. And it isn't a problem here in church, certainly not in Canada, and really never really has been a big problem. But like I said, 40 years ago or so, no respectable Christian woman in the UK would dare wear makeup, especially at church. No one would dare light a cigarette in church, in a church hall these days, without everyone giving them the evil eye or likely actually telling the person to butt out. And their level of Christian faith might even come be called into question if they were doing that stuff. But in Britain at the same time, it was okay to smoke. There's no problem with that. You couldn't do that in Canada. And you had opposite things happening. And these sometimes were the measuring sticks of how faithful you were. I know, for instance, some Presbyterian congregations today that if a drop of alcohol was consumed on church property, well, there'd be heck to pay over that, I'll tell you, right now. But I also know some other churches that regularly throughout the year for different events sell wine and whiskey on Robbie Burns Day at their church events, and there's no problem with that at all. The point is, the Pharisees had a problem with somebody doing work on the Sabbath. We maybe can't see how that upset them so much, but there are things today that would equally upset us if someone did that. And we would call their faith into question, and that's what they were doing with Jesus. We have them, and I'll call them our Sabbath restrictions in our modern church. No good Christian, whatever, you can fill in the blank. And really, again, that's what the Pharisees were saying to Jesus. No respectable Jewish person would break the Sabbath for any reason whatsoever. No true man of God would ever break the Sabbath. As the story continues, the Pharisees questioned further this sighted man. They wanted to prove to them that he was the beggar, the blind beggar. They even went and got his parents to unequivocally prove who he claimed to be. They declined to answer for the fear of punishment from these leaders. The man spoke up and said, basically, I don't know anything about this Jesus person, really, good or bad. All I know is, just like the words in that hymn, Amazing Grace, I was once blind, but now I see. But even after all that, the Pharisees drove the man off of the street and finally out of the town because he was just, they couldn't accept this. And as it says, Jesus found the man and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Messiah?" And he answered, "Well, who is he, sir? Tell me so I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You've seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." And this is where Jesus is beginning to speak, just as he did with Nicodemus about being born again. Nicodemus initially misunderstood him. "What do you mean I can't be born again? I can't go back in the womb, as it says in Scripture, and come out again?" It's the same kind of thing he talked about with the Samaritan woman at the well, about living water. "Give me some of that water you're talking about. I'll never be thirsty again." But it wasn't real physical water. He was talking something that's very spiritual. And now the sighted blind man was about not just seeing with his eyes physically, but seeing the light spiritually. Jesus turns a real event or circumstance into a metaphorical, if you like, truth about God's work in this world through Christ. So here's the question I have for all of us to consider today in this long story that we've read. What circumstance is taking place in your life that has that metaphorical truth about what God is working in your life? So what physical things taking place in your life that has a spiritual underpinning to it, that has a spiritual reality to it? You need those eyes opened so you can see that. The circumstances of things that we experience in our day-to-day life, if we're walking in faith, if we're walking in the light, are there for a reason. God is trying to teach us something all the time. We are walking through this Lenten journey, as I keep saying, from week to week. It is going to ultimately take us to the foot of the cross, and that was a lovely song we had from the choir this morning, "The Old Rugged Cross." We've sung some good old hymns already this morning, and we'll be closing up, "Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us," another good old hymn, asking God to lead us in this Lenten journey to the foot of the cross. "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. Sleepers awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look for those moments in your life this week as we continue in our Lenten journey. Look for those moments when, you know, that somebody cuts you off in a car. What's God trying to teach me here? Somebody is holding you or hugging you, or conversely, somebody's maybe getting mad at you. What's God teaching me here? What's the spiritual underpinning in this physical thing that I'm going through at this moment? Look for that. Look for the light in those moments. And the Spirit of God will reveal a great truth to all of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to the work you are doing in our lives. Let the scales of doubt, of fear, of mistrust fall from our eyes like that of the blind man in the story. Help us to see with new spiritual eyes the light of Jesus' love for us, the light of Jesus' hand at work in our lives. And help us to live as children of light as we continue to journey down this path of Lent, leading us to the very foot of the cross where we stand forgiven and renewed. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus, the light giver himself. Amen.